Hallelujah. Good morning. Good morning to all. I am Elder Cheryl Wagner here on Heavenly Host International Radio, God's Fire, on a beautiful Saturday morning here in Cleveland, Ohio. And I'm here from 11 to 12, or maybe 11 to 11:40. Amen. Amen. I prayed before I got on the air, and I like doing that because I like spending that moment with God. So I hope some of you understand that. Amen. Amen. So we're going to be talking about healing, because I'm in the healing process for myself, asking God to heal my thoughts and my spirit, you know, heal my physical needs, my emotional needs. Amen. Amen. And forgiveness. He forgave us, so we must forgive someone else. We must do forgiveness. Amen. Because we don't think a lot of times that God forgave us. So we must, in the name of Jesus Christ, forgive someone else. Amen. Amen. So we're going to get started here. Healing and forgiveness. We're going to be coming out of Scripture, Mark 2, 1 through 12. Amen. And we also have some related scriptures to this text. Matthew 9, 2 through 8, and Luke 5, amen. 5, 18 through 26. Amen. Amen. So the scriptures lesson text says, and again he entered into Capernaum after some days, and there was noise that he was in the house. He had been gone for a while, but when he got back and returned, the news spread so quickly that Jesus was in the house. In the house. He's back. And so thousands of people, well, I don't know how many, forgive me, but I know it was crowded at the house that he had entered. And I believe that was his home, amen, where he was staying at the time. And people was all in front of the door, all around it, in and everywhere, side to side, trying to hear and see what he has to say today. Amen. 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 Thank you, Holy Spirit. And straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them. No room. You think about the clubs and the funerals and the reunions where there's no room. It'd be so many family members and friends. But here, they was here to hear a word from on high. Wow. Not so much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them. And they come unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born afore. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, did you hear that? Broken it up. They said they tore the roof off. They let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. He was paralyzed. He couldn't move. So his friends, come on, his friends, I tell you, his friends brought him for his friends. Tore the roof off, clamped up there, and put him down in the roof. Now when Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, son, thy sins be forgiven thee. Not that you're healed, but your sins, because that was the faith that they had. The sins, he said, your sins are forgiven thee. Just for that much faith. But there were certain other scribes sitting there and reasoning in their hearts. He can't do that. He's blaspheming. Who do you think he is? He's not God. Only God can forgive. Why do this man thus speak blaspheming? Who can forgive sins but only God? But God only. And immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reasoned within themselves, he said unto them, why reason ye these things in your heart? Why are you speaking these things in your heart about me? Really, I am God in the flesh. See, they weren't going to accept that. And they didn't. Whether is it easy to say to the sick of the palsy, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, arise and take up thy bed and walk. So a lot of people's in a wheelchair or bedbound, bedridden, you know, or can't move, can't fit for themselves. They want to be healed, but they don't want to. They want to continue to sin. I have experienced this. Amen. But that ye may know that the Son of Man have power on earth to forgive sin. He said to the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, arise and take up thy bed and go thy way unto thy house. And immediately he arose, took up the bed, and went forth before them all. Everybody that was standing there saw this thing. This amazing miracle. Sin forgiven and then been healed at the same time. Insomuch that they were all amazed and they glorified God, saying, we never saw it on this fashion. So to God be the glory on all things. To God be the glory for me sitting here sharing this with you, healing and forgiving. To God be the glory that I am alive and woke this day, closing my right mind. To God be the glory. Hallelujah. Wow. Thank you. Amen. So the golden text, I am reading out my Sunday school book, amen, which is so powerful. All the lessons in here is like really informational, resource, powerful, amazing. So the golden text read, but that ye may know that the Son of Man have power on the earth to forgive sin. He said to the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, arise and take up thy bed and go thy way into thy house. Mark 2:10-11. Introduction. Persistence in spiritual matter pays off. When Jerry B. Jenkins was working with Billy Graham, I love this story, this introduction. On Billy's autobiography, he asked him, how do you maintain your own spiritual disciplines? Billy responded, I like it because Jesus responded. Billy responded. We are told to do two things. We're talking to the Christians. I'm talking to the church. I'm talking to the believers right now. Amen. To pray without ceasing. Amen. And search the scriptures daily. Take up your cross daily. Read your word daily. Everybody said all day long, but read your word daily. I'm talking to myself too. And I just begun that this morning. Amen. Open up the Bible, read the scripture. Wherever I lay my Bible, and I got two or three Bibles at the house, it should always, your word should always be available to you. It's always available to you, but we should always read our word that's available to us. Amen. Wow. And search the scriptures daily. After hearing him talk about his prayer life, Jenkins asked Billy, how about searching the scriptures? What form does that take? How do I search the scriptures, he asked. What do I need to do here? This is what he said. Wherever I am in the world, I put my Bible where I can see it during the course of the day. Search the scriptures daily. Graham replied, if I'm in a hotel room, I open it and put it on the bed. Amen. If I'm in my office, I open it and put it on the edge of my desk. Hear that? If I'm at home, I put it someplace where I'm going to see it frequently all day. You don't want to put it in your bedroom and you're always downstairs in your living room or in the kitchen. Put it where you can see it frequently. That way you're going to open it what we should. Open it, amen, and read it. Wow. Anytime I notice that open Bible, leave it open, I stop and read a verse or two, a chapter or two, or I read for an hour or two. Amen. Whatever preference you like, do that. This is not for sermon preparation, he said. It's just for my own edification. It's my spiritual food. You get sick, you take medicine. If you get hungry, you eat food, physical food, medication. But your spiritual food should be read daily and eaten. Hallelujah. And eaten also. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. I love God's word. And I have to respect it more. I need to respect it more than I'm doing. You know, because it's respecting him. If you pick up his word, it's a good word, good stuff going on. It's better than life itself. If you chew the word, read the word, share the word, and live the word. Amen. So some of us has a physical need, and some of us has a healing need. But we should want both, because some of us need both. So I'm going to get into the lesson. Amen. I'm going to go to the heart of the lesson, and then I'm going to go to preparing the lesson and some practical points, which is like so awesome. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. The heart of the lesson. People often focus on short-term concerns. Listen now. They are anxious about everyday needs, such as food, clothes, and home. Aren't we, though? Do that sound like anyone out there? Amen. Men, women of God, men of God, believers. Do that sound like us? I say they are anxious about everyday needs, such as food, clothes, and home. Where you gonna live at, what I'm gonna wear, and what I'm gonna eat. Hallelujah. While there's nothing wrong with taking care of those things, life consists of much more than everyday matters. And some people just ain't gonna believe that and accept that. Their life consists of more than just those everyday matters. Home, food, clothes. People will say, well, what's more important? Well, the word tells us that our text tells of a man whom Jesus healed. Even more, though, the man became completely whole. See, we ain't whole because we got a home, the food, and the clothes. We still ain't whole. We want to become completely whole, huh? In spirit and in truth. And strong faith. And that'll be Mark 2, 1 through 5. Amen. As Jesus was preaching to a crowd in a house in Capernaum, a paralyzed man was brought there by four friends. They had faith, that Jesus could heal him. They had faith. They heard about this man called Jesus, what he have done, what he can do, what he will do, by faith. By faith. The four men realized the house was too crowded for them to get in. With their friend that was in the bed. He was paralyzed, amen. Wow. So they carried their friend up to the flat roof. They tore away the mud and thatching of the roof and lowered the man down through the ceiling, probably using ropes. It must have been an unpleasant surprise to have dirt and grass falling down on people's head while Jesus was preaching. Because you, come on somebody. That's just like your roof cave in at home. You sitting there watching TV, relaxing, or cooking, or whatever you're doing, amen. And all of a sudden your roof is wide open, stuff is falling on you. Surely you're going to be amazed and look up and see what's going on. Even if you're sitting there doing your prayer life, amen, you're going to be truly amazed that, what is going on? My roof is open. It's coming down. Well, they were too. But this happened while Jesus was preaching and the people was listening to him. Jesus rapidly recognized the faith of the man and his friend. He wasn't worried about the hole in the roof of somebody. He didn't care about them opening up the roof and coming down. You had to hear the noise while he was preaching and they was listening. He said this. Well, I love this. Jesus rapidly recognized the faith of the man and his friend. He told the man that his sins were forgiven. Jesus was thinking long term, not short term, long term, even if he never healed. Long term is you forgive the forgiveness of someone, forgiving someone. You'll be free, set free. I know that for a fact. Because once I forgive, I'm set free. cleaning up my side of the street, whether you tell me you forgive me or not, or whether you say okay or not, accept it, don't have to. I'm going to ask for forgiveness, and I'm going to give forgiveness. I forgive you. Praise God. He told the man that his sins were forgiven. Jesus was thinking long terms instead of focusing on the man's more obvious short-term need for healing. Did you hear that? Number two, here's the challenge of unbelief. Mark 2, 6 through 9. So you got to have a strong faith. Strong faith. And that was very, very strong for them to tear up the roof, lower the bed down, and so the man could be healed. Now, they're not thinking about forgiveness. I'm pretty sure they weren't. So the first thing Jesus did say, amen, your sins are forgiven. Not that you're healed, but your sins are forgiven. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Holy Ghost. A challenge of unbelief. Now, the religious leaders in the crowd were eager to trap Jesus. You know they was there. Amazingly, the Lord knew their thoughts and answered their unbelief aloud. He know our thoughts. His thoughts are higher than ours. We know that. We should know that. But we don't believe that. Every thought, every second, every what. He knows already what we're going to do, say, wear, eat, walk, talk, whatever. He already knows. Hallelujah. He already knew their thoughts. And he answered their unbelief aloud. He asked whether it was more difficult, amen, to forgive the man's sin or to heal him. He asked them that. And you know they can't answer. They ain't got no answer for Jesus. He ain't argue. He ain't debate. He said whether it was more difficult, amen, to forgive the man's sin or to heal him. Question. Neither one would be impossible unless Jesus was truly God. Either one. So they weren't thinking like that. Only God can do that. So who do you think he is? The scribes and Pharisees were ready to call Jesus a blasphemer because he claimed to be able to forgive sins. They knew that only God can do that, amen. However, they did not believe Jesus was God. Amen. They wouldn't accept it. They wouldn't believe it. Mm-mm. We still don't believe that much today. A lot of us don't. Some believe he's just a prophet, you know. But they don't believe he's the Son of God. Mm-hmm. Remember they said nothing could come good out of Nazareth. Talking about Joseph, Jesus and Joseph. Nothing good could come out of that. But it did. Jesus Christ, hallelujah, Son of God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Holy Ghost. The religious leaders must have wondered whether Jesus would be able to heal the man so that he could walk again. Mm-hmm. They wondered that. They had heard about the miracles Jesus had done in other towns. A lot of them still thought it was witchcraft when he healed people. But how is that witchcraft bringing somebody back from the dead? They assumed it was. Or laying hands on somebody, which God gave us that power and authority, which we messed up. Amen. They had heard. It was hard for their hardened hearts to believe that Jesus could do neither one of these miracles. They didn't want to accept that he was God and he could do all these wonders. Heal and forgive. Remember he said, forgive them. For they know not what they do. They just didn't know. If you don't know, you don't know. But if you pick up that word like Billy Graham was saying with them Bibles, make sure your Bible is open in different parts of your house. You'll know that he is God. Wow. Mm-mm-mm. Well, sadly, there are many people today who have this same problem of unbelief. Wow. They do not believe Jesus is truly God. They think they cannot trust him for salvation because he is not quite up to the job. Ain't that something? He's not quite up to the job. Don't forget, the third day he rose. After being crucified, beaten. Beaten so bad you couldn't even unrecognizable. He got up. They had pictured him as far too small, certainly not the true picture of God. Cause they say God is bigger than that. God is bigger than AIDS, bigger than cancer. Bigger. So they see Jesus just as a small little something. In the flesh, don't forget. Okay, healed to complete wholesomeness. Healed to complete wholesomeness. Wholeness. Mark 2:10-12. Jesus, the Son of God, did and still does have the authority to forgive sin. He said, still does. When we repent and we go to Christ, forgive me, Lord, for what I've done. Submit yourself to God. Tell him what you did, because he already know. But he wants us to tell him, ask him for forgiveness. He can also heal anyone he chooses to heal. I don't care where you at, what you do, because you're in a wheelchair, because you're paralyzed, because you're in a coma, because your arm broke, your feet, your knees aching. Come on, somebody. He ain't got to heal you. He's not obligated to heal anyone. Whether we believe or not, some people he want to remain that way so we can depend on him and ask for him, ask for his forgiveness and his kindness and his love. Excuse me, I'm about to sneeze. Excuse me. In this case, Jesus did a miracle people could not see so that they could know about the miracle of forgiveness that they could not see. I'm going to say that again. In this case, Jesus did a miracle people could not see. In this case, Jesus did a miracle people could see. Amen. So that they could know about the miracles of the forgiveness that they could not see. He healed the man and he forgave the man. They can't see that forgiveness. Only God can do that. People can heal the man because they think it's witchcraft, some people see. Yeah. But forgiveness, only God can do that, they say. Well, that's God. The man's cure was instantaneously, like boom, 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 immediately. He got up and walked. When Jesus said, take up your bed and walk, there was no getting around it. He was healed. The scribes and the Pharisees seen it, and the people that was all around him. The man that they brought through the roof, is for his friends. They had to have much faith for them to even bring him. The crowd responded with amazement. They glorified God for such a great miracle that the inward miracle of the forgiveness of sin was much more important than physical healing. See, that's much more important to be forgiven and to forgive. He said, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Some people can be sinned all their life, but when they get ready to pass on, they ask for forgiveness. I know that because my granddaughter did. And I don't even believe she sinned, but, she was 15. Said, God, forgive me for everything I have done. So whatever it was, is between her and God to this day. Amen. The man's changed life was a long-term change, making a difference for all eternity because he was truly forgiven by God himself and healed by God himself. Amen. God can heal anyone he chooses. But he knows what is best. He knows what is best for us. He knows. You wonder why God ain't saved that person, or why you won't wake that person up thank you, Holy Spirit, from a coma? Wow. He knows it is much more important to be whole spiritually than to be whole physically. Amen. Hope y'all caught that. I hope somebody caught that. God knows that it's more important to be whole spiritually, all the way all the way than to be whole physically. You can have one leg, two leg, whatever. One arm, two arms, whatever. Blind, cancer, COVID. I'm just saying, a lot of people died with COVID. A lot of people passed away. Lord have mercy. Thank you, Jesus. And we can't say who asked God for forgiveness or who was living a good life but still passed on. Can't say, that's not our call. God's long-term view encompasses all eternity. All eternity. Those who love and follow God will live with Him forever. Those who choose to stay away from God and reject His gift of salvation will live without Him eternity. You ain't got nothing coming. If you die in sin, you will not go into heaven. Sin would never reach heaven, not even to the door. Amen. So forget it. If you're going to change, change right now. If you're going to stop sinning right now. To God be the glory. To God be the glory. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Wow. Complete wholeness spiritually. Amen. Wow. Here's the lesson. Amen. Healing was important a part of Jesus' ministry on earth to heal somebody. He healed so many people. So many people. Go and sin no more. You have been made whole. It's some powerful words. Go and sin no more. You have been made whole. Come on. The lady with the issue of blood. Amen. The young girl, 12. Go. You have been made whole. So she's not there. She just sleep. You got a man with faith to father. Then he says, you don't even have to come to my house. Just say the words and my peoples will be healed. That's faith, strong faith. Do we have that faith today? Are we living a life of faith for Christ? Are we working for somebody else or for ourselves? Are we self-righteous? Amen. What happened to the faith for Christ, in Christ? What happened to all His work? What happened to picking up your word daily? What happened? When these Bibles disappear and these Sunday schools disappear, Lord, Lord. Lord, Lord, help us. I tell you now, I'm keeping all my Sunday school books. Powerful message in these Sunday school books. Amen. Hallelujah. I kid you not. Wow. It's today's aim, fact, to show how Jesus healed a paralyzed man. That's a fact. There's some facts right there. He healed a paralyzed man. Take up your bed and walk. Just speak it. Ain't have to lay no hands or nothing. Principles. To underscore that God is more concerned, amen, about spiritual wholeness than physical well-being. God is concerned, and we should be concerned also with our spiritual lives. What are we doing to keep our spiritual lives going? What are we doing to help God, to help someone, to tell somebody about Jesus Christ, to teach it, to preach it, to learn of Him more and more and more, to get a personal, intimate relationship with Him. To show somebody the way to Christ. Yeah. Amen. And application means to apply. To help people make spiritual concerns, wow, a priority in their lives. Talking to myself. I ain't sitting up here just talking and preaching. I'm talking to myself. What are we doing, woman of God, man of God, peoples of God? What are we doing here? Hallelujah. Victory belongs to Jesus. And show Him that victory belongs to Him. He has all power. Went down to hell, came back with all power. They say He took the keys. went down and came back up with all power. So if he went down, we went down. If he came back up, we should be up. Amen. When God does something, he always does a perfect job because he's perfect. He's holy. That's who he is. When he finished creating the universe, he looked at it and said that it was very good. Genesis 1 and 31. When Jesus touched peoples and made them well, it was always a task that was completed to perfection. He made them whole. You are whole. Go and sin no more. His touch restores people to wholeness. This lesson that we're talking about today explores the concept of wholeness in relationship to healing and shows us that while God is concerned about our physical well-being, amen, his higher priority, that we know the truth and experience forgiveness and spiritual wholeness. Go, you have been made whole again, but you got to forgive. And you can't let go. Well, I forgive, but I ain't forget. I'm not going to forget. That's not forgiving. Huh? You got to ask God, help me to forget that. I have forgiven this person. And I don't want to dwell on it. Every now and then, I might see something might come up in my mind, but I don't dwell on it. I keep moving. Because, see, I forgave that person. Because God forgave me. Wow. Jesus responds to the needs of a paralyzed man because he saw them four friends bring him through a tore up rooftop, lowered him down just for Jesus. Jesus sounded like he stopped what he was doing and say, your faith has made you whole. Go and sin no more. Wow. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Holy Spirit. I like this. Jesus responded to the needs of a paralyzed man. After journeying through Galilee, Jesus returned to the town of Capernaum. The news of his arrival spread quickly, and the house where he stayed was soon packed with curious people. There was no room for any more people, even around the doorways. They wanted to see what Jesus would do next. Jesus used this opportunity. And see, that's something we don't do. We don't use an opportunity. I'm talking to the Christians. We get a lot of opportunity to tell somebody about Jesus, but we don't. See, so we're so busy not thinking of ourselves, so to speak, but that we're distracted from telling somebody because we're doing something else. And I don't think we do it intentionally, but we do. So we got to make sure to be aware of our surroundings. So when we go into places such as Walmart or the drugstore or the grocery store or to the doctor, whatever, you know what I'm saying? We got to remember Jesus. Hallelujah. We must remember him to tell somebody about Christ. Amen. Amen. I guarantee if you go somewhere you say, praise the Lord, hallelujah, most likely you're going to get a conversation from another true Christian. They're everywhere. We're everywhere. But we don't want to talk to nobody that's supposed to be already saved, but the unsaved, the unbelievers. Amen. Amen. Again, they wanted to see what Jesus would do next. Jesus used this opportunity to preach the good news of the kingdom of God to them. The kingdom of God. We should be getting people ready for the kingdom. They call it kingdom bound. Getting them ready for the kingdom. Amen. Come on now. It is in the context that four men desperately tried to get their paralyzed friend to Jesus so that he might be healed. They said paralysis in a human being is the ultimate state of physical helplessness. Because you're helpless. You're paralyzed. You can't move. They say it's the ultimate state of physical helplessness. If you have ever known a paralyzed person, you understand how frustrating it can be. The mind is often alert, but the muscles do not obey the dictate of the will. Jesus. The muscles are immobile and uncooperative. You can't move again. Real simple. You're paralyzed. I don't care if it's from the waist down, I don't care if it's the arm, just one leg, you're paralyzed. Your mind wants it to move. Your mind telling you, move. But it's uncooperative. It don't cooperate with you, with your thoughts. In this lesson, we see how Jesus took on one of the most difficult human conditions, paralysis. Since the house where Jesus was preaching was so crowded, the men went up to the outside stairway that led to the roof of the house, and then cut through the roof in order to let the man down in front of Jesus while he was preaching. That's saying something. They certainly showed great determination in their desire, to see that their friend, healed. A desire. You gotta have a zeal for this, for his will. You got to. Their desire was to get their friend healed. Wow. They didn't know nothing about forgiveness. They didn't think about forgiveness. Just to get their friend healed. Hallelujah. The biblical record tells us that Jesus responded to their faith and spoke to the man, telling him that his sins were forgiven. Wow. What was the purpose in that statement? Did the sick man get what he wanted? We don't know. He got healed. He wasn't thinking about for no forgiveness. He wasn't thinking about no forgiveness. He was thinking about being healed. But Jesus said, your sins are forgiven. Even before he thought about healing the physical part of this man, he dealt with the spiritual part, as they say, the long term, not the short term. Well, I'm healed. I'm going about my business. The long term is forgiveness, y'all. Your spirit says, forgive. Forgive. Your faith says, forgive. Wow. From Jesus' perspective, the forgiveness of sins was probably the only healing that was truly necessary. Did you hear that? The forgiveness of sin was probably the only healing that was truly necessary. Physical healing, after all, is only temporarily. Did you hear that? Temporarily. Until the renewed creation of Jesus' second coming. Only temporarily. Even if he healed you, it's only temporarily, but forgiveness is eternal. Forgiving someone, being forgiven, but forgiving someone is forever. From the heart, because he wants our heart. He wants our heart. He wants our love, our attention, our obedience. Wow. It seems that God was primarily concerned with the spiritual healing of this man. Encourage everyone to talk about this. We need to tell people to talk about forgiveness. We need to talk about forgiveness more. Because if you don't, it's a sin not to forgive. Because God forgave us. I can't say that enough. He forgave us. Amen. Wow. The scribes were teachers of the law, and some were present in the house in Capernaum. See, they only go there just to be nosy to see what he can going to do so they can go back and talk about it. We got to get rid of this man. He's healing people. He's forgiving people's sin. No. He's blaspheming. They call him a blasphemer. They were not at all concerned about the paralyzed man. They don't care about nobody being broke up, cut up, shot. They stoned him anyway. They don't deal with that. To them, it's a sin. They was born with it, they say. They had to do something wrong for them to be paralyzed. Their concern was the words Jesus had spoken. They want to know how, who, what, why, and when. Where he at? You know, what he talking about? Who he talking about? They want to know this, the words he has spoken. In their thoughts, I got that underlined, in their thoughts, the scribes accused Jesus of taking the place of God by claiming to forgive sin. They didn't say it out loud. I said in their thoughts. But don't forget, God knows everything we think and do before we do it. Only God had that prerogative. According to them, Jesus had just committed blasphemy. which was punishable, amen, by stoning according to the law, Leviticus 24:16, just for saying things that God, only God can do, stoning. And don't think they didn't try. But as Jesus always says, it's not my time, it's not the hour. Blasphemy means to speak of God with a lack of respect. It must be remembered that the Jewish leaders thought of themselves as having great reverence, respect for God. In fact, they did not even pronounce God's name lest they violated its scarcity. In their eyes, Jesus had usurped a privilege that belonged only to God. Only to God. God Himself. Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Three in one. They had been told way before that, but the Pharisees still weren't happening. Even when Jesus came. Wow. With cold and sonic religiosity, they rejected Jesus' claim because they could not accept the fact that He was God. Wow. That He was God. Hallelujah. Here Jesus taught the true meaning of wholeness. While it was easy for Jesus to speak the words of forgiveness, which the scribes considered blasphemy, His authority to forgive sin would be proved by His miraculous healing of the sick man. His authority. See, His authority. He has authority down here on the earth and in heaven. He sits on the right hand of God Himself. The Father, the Son, amen, and the Holy Spirit. Jesus then spoke to the paralyzed man and commanded him to get up and pick up his mat and walk. From a human perspective, this was perfectly impossible. But Jesus had to show, he said, I can show you better than I can tell you, the religious leaders that He was indeed who He claimed to be. See, when Jesus came down here, He thought that everybody was going to accept Him because He spoke the word of Christ, His Father. I only say what my Father tells me to say. I only do what my Father, you know, He thought that they would accept it, but they did. So He had to show some signs and wonders. And a lot of them still accept it, not just as scribes and the Pharisees, but people like they do today. They just don't believe. They don't want to believe. So they go on about their merry way, doing what they do. Not forgiving people, not asking for forgiveness, not calling upon the name of Christ. Now a lot of them calling once they get in trouble, go to jail to get sick. Trust me, they calling Jesus. But where's your faith at? Don't use Him because He's Jesus. Use Him because He has faith in you. You have faith in Him. Trust Him and you believe Him. He was indeed who He claimed to be, the incarnated Son of God who would indeed forgive sin. It must be noted that in Jesus' mind and from a heavenly perspective, the primary concern was the man's spiritual wholeness. Through the forgiveness of his sin. The physical healing was an act of grace. By grace. Only by grace. Because He didn't have to heal him. Because He forgave him of his sin. But He didn't have to heal him. He healed who He wants. That proved the spiritual healing had indeed taken place. One and the other. So that's truly amazing. Forgive and heal. Healing and forgiveness. Amen. But true physical restoration only comes by at Jesus' return on the last day. Say true. Restore. He did that so He can prove that He's God. He forgave him and He healed him. So, who don't believe that? Forgive him and healed him. Wow. Wow. When Jesus commanded the paralyzed man to walk, the man did so immediately and publicly to the utter amazement of all the observers. The people in the crowd praised God for the miracle. Amen. No one had ever seen anything like this before. The scribes, no doubt, were stunned and baffled by the proof that walked before them. Ooh, that walked before them. Wow. In a moment, in a twinkling of the eye. The paralyzed man's greatest need was not physical healing, but spiritual healing. His greatest need, he didn't know that, but God knew that. God's priority is always a spiritual relationship with him, not our physical. Got all kind of broken up people, and dementia people, and mental people. He's worried about our spiritual needs instead of our physical needs. Which he know about it and he see it every day, all day. But where's our spiritual needs at for Christ? Our relationship with Christ. Yeah. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Practical points, which is some good points that I'm hoping that you hear God and obey. Hear God and obey. And 6:1, in the daily course of life, we should look for opportunities to speak God's word to others. Amen. We should. That's our job as Christians. Look for opportunities. Because they're there. They're right in front of us. But we pass them right on by, going about our daily lives. Ain't seeing the needs of others. Hallelujah. 2, our faith should not be shaken by any obstacle. Nothing, death, fire, tornadoes, floods, earthquake. Do not shake your faith from Christ. Even if you pass on, die in that faith. Die without sin. He said, go and sin no more, but walk with faith in me. 3, faith itself is not an action. I like this. But it is always seen in our action. Got to see it. You know, see faith. We got faith in our job, in our wives, our husbands, our homes. But where's our faith at in Christ? Hallelujah. 4, spiritual truth cannot be gasped by the spiritually dead. I like that. Spiritual truth cannot be gasped by the spiritually dead. Dead in our sin, physically. 5, we cannot fool people, but all our thoughts and motives are known by the Lord. Everything. Remember that you can fool some of the people some of the time. You might be fooling all, but you can't fool Christ. He knows all. He sees all. He is all. Hallelujah. And 6, critics have no answer. Listen to this. For lives that have been changed by the Lord. And scribes and Pharisees had no answer for what they saw. He healed the man. And he forgave him of his sin. So go and sin no more. Ask God for wisdom. Ask God for truth. Ask God for his love, understanding, and everything that you might need. Any resources to get to him, which is the Bible, is the word. I want to thank you for listening on this glorious day, Saturday, May the 11th. In Jesus' name, I pray that all would go and sin no more. And get the spiritual healing that we may need, that we desperately so need. If it could be the Lord's will, I'll see you next Saturday, same place, same time, here on Heavenly Host International Radio, God's Fire. I am Elder Cheryl. Have a blessed and wonderful day. Amen. Amen. To God be the glory.